All right, everybody may be seated. A little while ago, yeah, we got one who wants to. A few months ago, I brought a message about angels, and I just really touched this. I didn't even scratch the surface. There's a lot in the Bible about angels. One of the things about angels is that God used them to accomplish purposes that he had for people. And so this morning, we're going to look at Old Testament angels and incidents that involve Old Testament angels. And tonight, at 5 o'clock, we're going to look at New Testament angels, because there is a difference. And we might accidentally learn something. God does use angels, and I think we need to know more about them. There are 197 incidents in the Bible where God used angels. 197. So he uses them a good bit. That's in the King James. And so I would like for us to think about angels this morning, so that if we find an angel in our life, we might know how to respond. God did not always have angels around him. Angels were created by Jesus Christ. And I believe that he created them before he created the universe, because they were created to worship and serve God. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, we are told that for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So Jesus Christ created angels to worship God, to serve God, including one particular angel that is mentioned often, and that is the angel of the Lord. Now, I do not know, and I cannot definitively tell you, if that means that it was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord, or if it was a special angel that was signed only to the Lord, and the Lord used him in some very specific ways. Now, Jesus created angels as ministering spirits. Angels do not have souls. Angels do not have souls, so they can't be saved. They have great power available to them. As you will see before we get finished this morning, Jesus created millions of them. And the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but somehow I get the impression that they were created before the universe, before the world was created, before you and I were created. One of the jobs of angels is to praise God, and four of them in particular spend time hovering over his throne, calling out, "Holy, holy, holy." Ezekiel and the Apostle John both saw them in their visions. Some angels have wings, some don't. The angels that destroyed Sodom didn't have wings. They looked like men. And so you may wind up entertaining an angel and not know it, because they're not always winged, flying around. Now, I don't know what I imagined the angel of the Lord looked like, or if it was in a pre-incarnate appearance of himself. I used to lean toward the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself, but since I've done this study, I have changed my mind a little bit on that. I'm now leaning toward this being a special angelic being that Jesus created to serve himself. I believe that this angel represents Jesus Christ, and that he is used more frequently than any of the other angels being that we read about in the Word of God. Angels were used by God in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Angels were used in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was an angel that told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child in their old age. That angel was being used to carry a message. God also talked to Abraham on several occasions. And that was most likely the angel of the Lord talking with him. So God used angels early in his relationship with mankind. It was an angel of the Lord that God used to bring in the burning bush with Moses. We find that that example in Exodus 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. For a time, with Moses, I believe that when God talked with Moses, that it was in the form of the angel of the Lord. I do think that there were times when Moses talked with God face to face via the angel of the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God using angels, and knowing that God does not change, we should expect him to use angels today. We'll look at that again tonight. In Hebrews 13:8, we are told, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God does not change. And if he was using angels in the Old Testament, he will be using them in the New Testament and in our day also. Before we do, we're going to look at a few of the ways that God used angels in the Old Testament to minister for him. But before we do that, we need to address one other special angel. We find this angel addressed in the book of Exodus, Exodus 14, verses 19 through 22. That's Exodus 14, verses 19 through 22. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I believe that many of the angels had special tasks that they were created to do. There was the angel of the Lord who acted on behalf of Jesus Christ. But there was also an angel of God, different from the angel of the Lord, who was used for special activities. God was watching over all Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. And when the Egyptian army began to pursue Israel, God intervened with his special angel. Exodus 14, we read that, verse 19 through 22. God is very jealous for his own people. He is jealous for you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is jealous for you. He wants the very best for you. So let's look at a couple more examples from the Old Testament. And tonight we'll go to the New Testament. This next example is important because it shows that God doesn't always send angels to all the people involved in a situation, but will not divide a couple from his work. In other words, if there is a couple married, then God will treat them as one unit. When a couple comes together, it is God's intention for them to keep together. The next example we're going to look at, and I'll give you a minute to turn to it, is Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. It's rather a long passage, and we're going to read it. Judges chapter 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do to the child that shall be born. And God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man that appeared unto me that came to me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the thing that cometh of the vine? I'm sorry. excuse me. She may not, okay. I'm sorry, let me start back over at verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when thy shall I, and when thy that thy saying may come to pass, that we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why askest thou this after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock to the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in that flame off of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Samson was the man, the son of Manoah and his wife. This particular angel would not give his name because it was secret. Angels probably do not have names, or their names are secret. Also, they have special powers. Notice that the angel would not accept worship nor honor from humans. And the angels are not bound by the laws of nature. Gravity had no influence over this angel, just as it did not have influence over Jesus when he walked on the water. I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where angels are named except for one, Gabriel, who talked to Mary, who talked to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Also, he talked to Daniel when Daniel had questions. So, Gabriel spoke to at least three different people. I find it amazing how much God uses angels in the Old Testament. Let's look at a couple more examples of God using angels in the Old Testament. And this tonight we'll look at them in the New Testament. We move now to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Sennacherib was a general, and he brought his army against Israel by order of King Rabshakeh of Assyria. His army was large. It was 185,000 men. There was no doubt that he would overrun Israel. So they went to the only weapon that Israel had. They prayed. We'll look at verse 35 and see the results. 2 Kings 19, verses 35 and 36. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, the general of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. So, excuse me. We're not told how the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 in one night. Just that he did. God did not use a sword. He used an angel. And 185,000 people is a lot of people. The angel of the Lord killed 185,000 men in one night. The Bible doesn't tell us how it was done. The prophet Isaiah gives us one more piece of information about this incident. He gives that to us in Isaiah 37, 31 through 38. Isaiah 37, 31 through 38. And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city, and save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp, the Assyrians, 104,500. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nershrak, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharazar, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Amenia, and Eshtarad, his son, reigned in his stead. So Sennacherib, not only did he have his whole army destroyed, God destroyed him too. Sennacherib's sons killed him. God has a very special way of dealing with his enemies. God used angels throughout the Old Testament. We'll look at one more and then we'll be done for this morning. Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whom the bodies of the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The angel delivered the three men from the fire. Many Bible commentators believe that it was the incarnate or pre-incarnate Jesus Christ that was in that oven with them. We don't know. Nebuchadnezzar called it an angel. God took care of his people with angels. God still takes care of his people with angels. Some of you may have encountered an angel, or you yet may encounter an angel before your life is over. God uses angels, and we don't have to be afraid. What does an angel look like? They look like whatever God wants them to. They can look like a man. I believe there was a time I met an angel. I've shared it with you. There may be times that you have met angels. I have read several accounts from different pastors who have had angels come into their life and save them from a situation. And he may have done that for you. He may yet do that for you. So we don't have to be afraid. We can rely on God to take care of us. And if he needs an angel, he's got a few million of them out there that he can send our way and intervene in our lives. God uses angels. Not to save us, Jesus Christ did that. But God uses angels to intervene in our lives, to help us. Now, what's the difference between an angel and a person? The difference is a soul. A person has a soul. An angel does not. But any one of you God could use as an angel. You've heard the expression, oh, you're an angel, because somebody helps out somebody else. And maybe God, rather than sending an angel, will use one of you to intervene in some situation or carry a message to someone. And so we want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, so that when he moves us, we don't think about it. We simply respond. That's one of the things that the military tries to do with men, at least it used to. I don't know what it's doing today. But it used to be that people would go into the military and they would be trained to respond to an order without thinking, simply to respond and follow that order. Today, people have all these rights. And many times, you and I even will think about something before we do it. And we will weigh, well, what's the consequences, or how's this going to come out? And that is not the way we're supposed to respond to God. God is not our commander-in-chief, he's our God. And God has a purpose for you. God has a message for you to carry to the world. Is given to us in the Great Commission. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we should be doing with our lives. God will use us that way. But he will also, in our lives, and we will see it when we get to tonight's message, God has used angels in the disciples' lives, and he may use an angel in your life. I know of one time he used one in mine. How many of you here, as you think back over the years, think maybe I had an angel come to me? Yes, one, two, three. There are several of you. So live your life as though God is protecting you and God is taking care of you. And he will. And when it's time for you to go to be with him, he'll draw you to him. So I'm a little early this morning, but we're under a different circumstance. We didn't do all the hugging and greeting. And so look forward to the day where God puts an angel in your life. It may just be somebody driving by who will stop to help you, and you will see them no more, never again. And who knows that that wasn't an angel. The Arabs, even though they're not believers, they entertain strangers in the hopes of that they may entertain an angel on the way. And who knows, you may have the same opportunity. Father, we are so grateful for the way you take care of us, for the way that you look after us and provide the things that we have need of. And Father, even in emergencies and in situations where we are ignorant, you send us messengers. Maybe a brother or a sister in Christ. And Father, maybe once in a while, an angel. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for looking after us. Thank you for providing everything that you would have us to have in the way of information, in the way of materials. Father, we would ask that you would continue to show your love to us, and if it's necessary, to send an angel our way. Father, may we respond properly, and may your will be done in each one of our lives, and we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.